did mean to comment, Shirley, your close rate is diminishing. We need to get you into remedial sales training.
Oh, I thought you were going to pick on me tonight.
No, I wouldn't pick on you. So welcome, Shirley.
Thank you. I thought I'd better come because everybody knows Shirley Bird, but they don't know the face because there's lots of new people up here. So I'm Shirley Bird. I'm tour coordinator of the City of Franklin Senior Travel Program. And when I started out, I had to make 3 reports every year, and then they took me down in 2007 to only 2. So this is the report for the year of the year 2014. Now, the statistics are as follows. The preparation and participation is a total of 484 people took trips through the senior travel program this year. And of that number, 218 were Franklin residents and club members. 243 were non-club members, but they were residents of Franklin. And 23 were non-city residents. There were 207 different people that took trips through the program in 2014. 104 people went on at least one trip, and 103 people went on more than one trip. There were 122 men on the 12 trips. There were 362 women on the trips. You didn't give me no comment on that, like you always did. Didn't you?
Oh, it must be overnight trips that I have to comment on.
Seem like good odds.
Special needs people requiring walkers, canes, and wheelchairs participate in the trips throughout the year. We had 13 handicapped men, and we had 52 handicapped women. And one of the 23 Franklin residents that took trips, I collected $230 for 23 non-residents because they pay an extra $10 per person per trip. This extra money collected from the non-residents was used to offset the senior travel trip expenses. And there was no trips where the bus money was included in the price. Now, I mean by that, if we go to casinos, we don't use any bus money for that. If we extended trips, we don't use any bus money for that. It's paid by the people that take the trip. My phone calls, I had 96 phone calls that I had to send out flyers. And of the flyers that I sent out, 88 were Franklin residents, and they booked trips. The travel program is advertised in several locations during the year. These include the Franklin Recreational Department Guide, the City Newsletter, and the City of Franklin Government Access TV channel under News and Events. The 2014 budget for the year was $10,000. The actual cost of the 12 trips to the City of Franklin totaled $9,800, under budget by $200.
Yay, Shirley.
I'm always under budget.
You always are.
And so what's new for 2015? Using the budget number of $10,000, I have 12 trips planned and scheduled, with more depending on the budget constraints. A list of trips for January through June is published in the current City Newsletter. 2015 trips include some of the Fireside Dinner Theater, a slice of Wisconsin culture, and we went to Kiel and Denmark. We will be going to Wisconsin Case Manufacturing Operations and the Caterpillar Global Mining. We'll be doing West Bend Company. We'll be going to Oneida and Menominee Nations. We'll be doing an Amish community in Bondwell, and many more. Like I said, if we do any gambling trips, people that go on the trips pay the money. It's included in the price. So there's no money paid for any buses that take gambling trips or extended trips, which are overnight trips for several days or anything. So If you have any questions, just feel free to ask me.
Questions for Shirley?
Well, I have a comment.
Alderman Evans.
Thank you. Thank you for your report. It's very detailed. I appreciate it and appreciate the work that you do. I just have a comment regarding your recap on trip expenses, which is page 29 of the packet. And maybe it's a comment for Mr. Liberta. I don't understand why, if Ms. Bird has to make copies for the Common Council, why that has to come out of the budget, her budget.
If I can clarify that really doesn't come out of her budget. What she ends up doing is every person that goes on a trip, she charges an extra $3. $1 goes towards expenses, $1 goes for the tip for the bus driver, and $1 goes for the tip for the coordinator from the bus company. She works off that $1 that she gets along with the extra $10. So in her report, when she shows a deficit of the $135, that's actually coming out of her pocket where she's getting that $1 for expenses. So she never even bills. Her bills go strictly to billing for the buses. She never submits a bill for anything like that. So it's a self-run. When I get into my report, I'll try to go over some of that, and that's some of the things we're going to ask for and try to update with the council to point those things out. But that's where that comes out of. It doesn't come out of the city's budget.
Basil, name and address, please.
Basil Ryan, 5250 West South County Line Road.
I have my own checkbook. I mean, the travel company has their own checkbook. It is not hooked with any way with the Franklin Senior Club. So it's each is an individual organization. We're not part of the senior club. We are part of the City of Franklin Senior Travel. And when I came to in 2002, I came before the city and asked if I could volunteer to be a leader of this organization because no one else wanted it anymore. The rec department didn't want it anymore in their budget, the money.
What am I going to say?
Sorry. Well, anyway, we're each individual. So I sit there once a month at the meeting and have my papers out and let people see where they can go and the trips that I have planned. But we are not part of that. I take care of all the checking and what I have to pay out in my own check from the own checkbook, which belongs to the people, actually, because the people pay for their individual trips for their recreation and for their food. The only thing that the City of Franklin pays for is the buses. And that's how it was set up by Brazel Ryan in 2002.
If I can take it from there.
Let's not lose control. First of all, Basil, Shirley's on the agenda. I don't know what.
No, she's asked me to appear because of the item that is on the agenda that I will be discussing.
Okay, hold on.
I'm finished. Thank you.
Alderwoman.
I wanted to address the comment that Alderwoman Evans made. Frequently, Shirley, for years we've been getting your packet, which I appreciate, but then what happens is the clerk ends up having to make copies for everyone inside of here. So I was just going to suggest that just give one copy to the clerk and we'll get it in our packets anyway. So it'll cut down on the copying because everything you gave me in the envelope, I got a duplicate in my council packet, and so did every one of the aldermen as well. So that can save you some copying costs and save you those envelopes that you've been putting it in.
Yes.
And just give one copy to the clerk, and they'll get it to us.
They will.
Yeah. Just make sure they stamp it received when you hand it to them, and we should be all set then.
But it won't be written so carefully handwritten and printed
on the outside.
Nice, beautiful penmanship.
Well, she can give them one envelope with one.
Okay.
So we still get to see that.
Well, what I like to do, I know then myself, when I put it together, that sometimes something wasn't missed and someone doesn't get the paper in their packet. That's why I do it that way.
You're welcome to do it, but you don't have to.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, before we get on to Mr. Ryan, I read the letter. I read that last paragraph. You and I can talk about that last paragraph. I don't know what's going on
there. I think
it
has to be brought out. Shirley had asked me to look over this. And
Shirley's report is always well done, Basil. So let's
her report is if
Basil,
I can.
Let's do it quickly.
Okay. I think I'm interested as a council member. In
we do have other business tonight.
Well, I understand
Mr.
that, but there was a lot
okay,
of work
Mr.
put
Ryan.
Into this. So let's hear it. What is it?
Okay. Obviously, you read it, but I'd like to start. Today brings me great pleasure and sadness to appear before the Common Council with Ms. Shirley Bird on the topic of the City of Franklin Senior Travel Program. I cannot express in words gratitudes and thanks for the hard work and effort that Shirley has put forth to make the City of Franklin Senior Travel Program one of the best in the state. For the past 17 years, Shirley has coordinated consulate trips with thousands of participants. She personally makes the reservations with local sites, provides information about the trips to seniors, collects reservations, funds, coordinates with the bus company, provides financial update reports to the city staff on a regular basis and biannual reports to the Common Council, and handles numerous behind-the-scenes details to make each trip a delightful experience for the seniors. It's a huge job, and she does an amazing job with the little recognition. Now her efforts in the senior travel programs are in jeopardy. In fact, some people have gone out of their way to try to credit her hard work while undermining her efforts. It appears that money has been shifted from the senior travel program and demands and requirements placed on it that will ultimately result in its failure. I will try to point out the discrepancies in an attempt to resolve the problems that the senior travel program faces. I ask the mayor and the Common Council to take the appropriate action so Ms. Bird's actions and energies have not been wasted. If I can then go into this quickly. The scenario was in 2002, the City of Franklin was notified by the school district, the rec department in particular, because of the governor's budget, that they needed to look for some avenues for CAPI. One of them was the senior travel program. They did not want to undertake it. The Common Council at that same time was talking with the Franklin Senior Inc. group to see if they would run it, while I, as an alderman, was looking for volunteers and the possibility of the city to undertake that task. As a result, on March 12, 2002, the city was informed by the Franklin Senior Inc. that they decided not to operate the travel program, and on June 4, 2002, the Common Council approved my recommendation that the city actually start a travel program called the City of Franklin Senior Travel Program. Ms. Bird volunteered way back in February to run the program and to carry on its tradition. She has done it to this date. In the 2002 budget, and if anybody wants copies, I brought them, but so everybody knows, I reviewed all of the budgets from there forward. 2002 budget adopted included the $10,000 for the senior travel program. At the same time, the city was also using block grant money for the Franklin Seniors, Inc. I showed detail what they requested, how they requested to break down in the dollar amounts. 2003. The budget included $10,000 for the City of Franklin Senior Travel Program. The City of Franklin, again, was requesting $15,000 for the Senior Inc. participation. Then, in 2004, the City of Franklin, the budget continued to contain $10,000 for the Senior Travel Program, but they also were asking for block money to offset that. But they still had $10,000 set aside in the budget to cover any deficiencies. As a result, the city applied in 2004 for $10,000 for the entire senior program. They only received $5,041. In the meantime, they still were making requests for the Franklin Senior Inc. 2005, same thing. The city set aside $10,000 for the senior travel program, but they also were trying to offset it with block grant money to see if it qualified. The city applied in 2005 for $10,000 for the senior travel. They received $1,700. In 2006, the city applied for $10,000 again and received a full $10,000. The point that I'm making so far to date is that it always was set aside for $10,000. No strings attached. It was just supposed to be a travel program for any citizen in the City of Franklin to have the opportunity to get out. They handled all of their own pocket expenses. So, for example, if they bought the tickets, a dinner, whatever, they paid for that. The only thing the city of Franklin was committed to pay for was the bus. And the insurance was provided through the bus company, so there was no exposure to the city. In 2006, the city received the full amount. In 2007, the budget provided, again, still the $10,000 for the senior travel program. It was always set aside that it was there for it. In 2007, they applied for $10,000 and received $5,000. All along, also, still applying for the same amount of block grant money from the seniors, Franklin Senior Inc. That particular year, they received $16,500. 2008, same thing, $10,000 set aside, Franklin Seniors. 2009 is the interesting year. In 2009, the city continued to provide $10,000 appropriate to support the Franklin Senior Travel Program. But they also then said that as CDBG funding is no longer available to support the program. That same year, it's noted that the city added $5,000 from the budget into the senior activities. It specifically says for 2009, a $5,000 appropriation has been added to support the programming for seniors as provided by the Franklin Senior Citizen Inc. So now the budget is at 15. 10 still, 10 for the senior travel, and 5 now for the Franklin Senior Inc. In the same month, they're also, I'm sorry, in the same request to the block grant, the city of Franklin is asking for $11,340 for the Franklin Senior Inc. So if you look at it there, they give their breakdown in the block grant money the first Wednesday of every month, participants third Wednesday. At that time, they're also asking for $2,000 for the walking club, and they're asking for another $2,800 for miscellaneous. They also put in there in the minutes, in the confirmation letter, it states the cost may include support costs such as office supplies, program supplies, transportation charges for the senior travel program. Even though they tell you that there is no ability to collect block grant money, they also in their application says that money can be used for the travel program. It goes on to state the city of Franklin will not submit any charges for lunches at Clifford's and entertainment charges such as bingo. These expenditures will allow the organization to serve and grow memberships now equaling 320. So in 2009, the city adds $5,000. The city also says that in the future they won't be applying for any more block grants to support the first monthly Wednesday luncheon. So now we move into 2010. In 2010, the budget reflects that the 2010 budget continues to provide $15,000 appropriated to support activities for the seniors, but it reflects a program modification that occurred at the end of 2009, wherein a portion of the CDBG contribution was allocated to the senior travel program. And a larger portion of the city's contribution was allocated to the senior citizens' activities through the Franklin Citizen Inc. Under program descriptions, it states, this budget provides city support for senior citizen activity by supporting the senior travel program. That's where the confusion is coming in. The past year, you add $5,000 for the Franklin Senior Inc. $10,000 has always been set aside for the travel program. Also, starting in 2004, the city has always been applying for block grant money to offset that. But now something happens, and I can't find any of the documentation and any council action to say is that out of that $15,000, that a majority of it now is going towards Franklin Senior Inc. And the travel program is no longer entitled to $10,000. They're basically saying is that they're relying on the block grant money. In 2010, the city puts in a request for block grant money. They eliminated the first Wednesday, but they also now include the third Wednesday. They include $2,000 for the walking club, $4,600 for the senior travel program, and $2,800 for operation costs. That was their first request. They submitted a second request for $8,700. That was approved. Then in 2011, the budget continues to provide $15,000 appropriate for it. But it says now that the senior travel and the Franklin Senior Citizens Inc., including its walking club. So again, you still have that same 15. You have the block grant money that's being asked for the travel program, but all of a sudden there's confusion as to what's really going to where. But in the following year, in 2011, they clarify it. They basically say, they don't. It's 2013 is where they clarify. In 2012, they just repeat the same scenario, almost word for word. The same activities are applied for, except there's 8,000. Now, in 2013, this is where that ship comes. And yet, there's no documentation anywhere in council action. The 2013 budget continues to provide $15,000 appropriate to support the activities for seniors, $10,000 for the Franklin Senior Inc., and $5,000 for the senior travel program. All of a sudden, now the money got shifted, and I have yet to find any council action that indicates or gives the authority to do it. The only council action I've always seen is the $10,000 that was appropriated in the beginning. It also goes on to say is that the travel program, you know, is dependent upon block grant. 2014, I find requests, but I don't have the information to support anything as far as allocations or that. What I've also supplied to you is this is where the confusion now is coming in. In one of the letters of April 26, 2013, Mark sends to the Franklin Senior Travel participants a questionnaire where they have to fill in income levels. And it tells them that if they don't, that this is required for once a year and that they have to fill it out, and he sends it. Lisa also sends to Shirley asking for the names of all the participants that are going on the travel programs so that they can now send information requesting for their activities of income levels. In January 14th of 2010, as you can see, one of the items was that the travel senior program was only allocated $9,200, even though $10,000 has always been set aside. Shirley only had $9,200 to work with her program. In January 15 of 2014, the letter to Shirley advises her that the senior activities, as I stated in the budget, is $10,000 and the travel program is down to $5,000. The most alarming letter is the one most recently in March of last year, of March 12th to 14, where it says if program participants refuse to complete the forms, the entire program could be in jeopardy in the future. Nowhere since the conception of this program of the City of Franklin's travel was there ever any strings attached to it. It was always $10,000 that the city gave. This young lady has managed with over 15 years of keeping $10,000 with no cost of living, no cost for fuel allocations that have risen greatly, and still has put on an A1 first class program. Now it's coming under jeopardy because many of the participants are older individuals that do not want to go on educational things. They want to go on things that they can have fun, they can enjoy themselves, they don't need people to tell them what to buy at a grocery store and things like that. If this has to continue, she is getting objections from people that don't want to fill out these questionnaires and disclose their income levels or their or anything along those lines. What's frustrating and what's interesting is that obviously if the Franklin Senior program didn't qualify or that the strenuous programs became so to the point where they didn't want to participate, this program is ultimately going to fail for the same reasons. I think the Common Council needs to go back and figure out what happened. My outline is there. The documentation lies in the city's budgets. And figure out, does Shirley still have $10,000 with no strings attached? And are people required and being forced to fill out these requirements of disclosing their income levels because they won't go on these trips anymore? And has somewhere amongst the time frame, has the council or the past council changed the actual participation requirements of this program? Those are why I appeared tonight. Shirley asked me to look into this, and as you can see, I spent a lot of time deciphering a lot of things. I still have questions, and I've always been someone silent in the background with this program, and I've always helped whenever she's needed it, and I've always rolled up my sleeves to do that to safeguard this program. But if it's the council's direction that they want to change and her efforts now turn to waste, then at least let the young lady know that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. Alderman Willow.
Well, Mark may recall I had that same question about the form, so that might be worthy of future information. You remember I had the same question about why they had to fill out that form, and I had the constituent who complained to me about it and was not interested in doing that. And
the form is simply a requirement of HUD. You need income verification to qualify for the form unless you have an area benefit. A program like this in no way qualifies as an area benefit. So for the city to continue to apply CDBG funding to any aspect of the program, the form needs to be filled out by applicants.
So otherwise, we don't qualify and we don't get the CDBG money. So then it's just strictly the money that's within the budget.
Correct. What the city has tried to do for the last number of years, since when we had our first layoffs about the same point that the economy was struggling, the city tried to maintain both programs to the best they could at the current level using only $15,000 of property tax money. And the rest, we tried to continue to figure out what can we do to get enough CDBG money to keep the shell moving between both so both programs could be supported. And that's what we've done to this point. The $15,000 is the same total property tax allocation. And they've tried to stretch that out to enable both programs to get as much participation. Over that time, as Basil noted and as Shirley is aware, we've taken advantage of the fact that she did have enough programs that qualified for CDBG. During that same period, HUD became much more stringent with the county and provided a lot of direct oversight. In fact, the county had to reimburse the federal government a significant amount of money for other programs that had received reimbursement that didn't qualify. Not wanting that to happen here, we've tried to work with the county to make sure we continue. So that has made it tougher to access those funds. At some point, the city will have to, you know, if it continues to get tighter, or you know, the participants of the programs don't have enough programs that have a qualifying educational component to a sufficient enough degree, then the city will have to look at, does it apply more non-CDBG revenue to it? Do they scale back one or both programs? But to this point, the Common Council has taken an action each year within the budget document, which is an action of the Common Council that allocates how those money are to be used. And when one of them has underspent, there's been a number of years where one or of the other of the program underspends and we're able to keep both going. And we even brought, during that period, Southwest Interfaith in to take advantage of some of the CDBG funds that weren't being used. The first year where there was a cut was that first year where we were brought in, and they were given sort of a share of the total CDBG money, which watered down the rest of the money all the way around. So the city's maintained $15,000 and tried to use CDBG to support both programs. And if that gets tighter and tighter, it will be harder to do. And some additional decisions, as Basil has suggested, will be necessary. If you want to move the program such that it doesn't have to worry about adhering to a certain percentage of programs meeting the federal guidelines, then you will need some more non-CDBG revenue to do that.
Since I haven't given up the floor, I just have one question. Shirley has put a lot of work into this, and she's been great over the years, so I really appreciate that. And Basil has brought forward some information, put a lot of time and effort, so I'd like to ask is what you would feel would be a fair and appropriate for Shirley's hard work and to maintain the program and keep it whole so it doesn't end up getting a program that can't be funded. Do you have a fair and appropriate suggestion?
Wait a minute. This is going far afield. The program is funded today for $10,000. It is funded. Mm-hmm. Your comment leads people to believe that it's not, as does yours.
No.
My comments are supported by...
No. Mr. Ryan, I'm not going to debate you.
You don't
have to.
This
is well past agenda item. I'm just going to tell everybody the program is funded. There is an issue that perhaps some... and this is the first I've heard this.
And you wouldn't have even been able to hear it if you wouldn't have allowed me to speak.
This is the first I've heard this, and I appreciate the information. But dropping this on us without allowing us to take a look at what the issue is not appropriate. It's not appropriate.
Mayor, I will
Basil, I'm not going to... No.
All I'm saying is I'm pointing out a problem to you and asking.
I appreciate that, and I've received it now, and we'll look into it. The issue is we're trying to balance and maintain the program, $10,000, when we got shrinking levy dollars and other pressures being put on us by the Community Development Block Grant Program. You got $10,000 a year. Is there a motion placed on file? And we'll work on this.
Mayor, I had not given up the floor. I had asked a question. I didn't feel my question was out of any line or making any acquisitions. I just asked the gentleman who spent a lot of work what he could offer as what he thought was fair, appropriate for Shirley's compensation and to keep the program going. If he has an idea, I was open to hearing it. We don't have to do what he says. I just asked him, how can we make sure the program keeps going? Because I want to keep the program going. And so I don't think that's saying... I didn't say it wasn't funded. I never said any of that. And it was just...
It's real easy. It's a financial decision based on the six of you. The six of you make this decision every budget period. And it doesn't relate to Mr. Ryan. It doesn't relate to Shirley Bird. It's, does this common council want to fund the program for $10,000? If so, where do you find the money? It's not Basil's suggestion. It's not Shirley's suggestion. It's your decision.
I guess I just am open to hearing from all members' opinions and constituents. I've always acted that way as an alder person. I intend to continue to do that. If you won't allow him to answer the question here, I will, outside of this chamber, ask the same question and get an answer. But I thought he's sitting here, he put the work in. I didn't see any problem with having him answer the question. But I'll yield the floor. Ask the gentleman the question outside the chamber.
I'd be more than happy to answer the question.
Thank you, Alderman. Alderman Evans.
I just, have one question for Shirley. In your letter here to us, your first sentence says, 2014 was a very successful and positive year for the City of Franklin Senior Travel Program. I'm going to take it that you meant that. So it was a successful, positive year.
$5,000
the city. So I have the money, and I've always been within the budget, under budget, every year when I come back, because I have to make the programs out already in the November of the year before so that I know where I can go, because the bus cost for these programs, it goes by the amount of time or the distance, which is greater. So I have to pick trips that are going to keep me in within this $10,000 budget.
Thank you.
Alderwoman Mayor.
Well, and you also need to have enough people go on the trips to pay for what's going on, too. And it says here that if the program participants don't want to fill out the forms, which it kind of sounds like some of them are having issues with doing that, it says that the entire program could be in jeopardy in the future. So I do believe that this is probably something that we need to look into and review.
But was the program originally set up in 2002? I don't think it was for that. It was set up that it was $10,000 from the city, and that was it. There was no strings attached where people have to put their income down, what you make a year, just because you took a bus trip and sign your name to something like that. Would you do it? If you ride on my bus, you're going to get that letter too, and you're going to have to sign it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
See?
But the other thing to keep
in... Basil, please.
No, Steve. We've
got to do this by proper... Alderwoman Mayor has the floor, then Alderman Dandrea.
Point. And I'm trying to respond to her question. The other thing you don't understand is if they sign it and the income level is too high, they're not going to qualify.
Believe me, Basil, I understand it. What I don't appreciate is getting this dropped on us in this manner without having the opportunity for us to take a look at it and thoughtfully answer your questions.
Mr. Olson, what don't you understand is these... I'm sorry?
I'm the mayor.
And I'm still an alderman by title two. The title still goes with me, too. So if you want to respect me, I'll respect you. But I'm not here to do that, and I apologize because this isn't. I respect the office of the mayor. What I'm saying is it's not fair that I'm showing letters going back to 2012, Mayor, saying there's a problem. Shirley contacted me when she started getting these. So it's not something that was dropped on your lap tonight. This is a continuous problem. I summarized everything for you. The budget that you've been an alderman for numerous years and oversat, you can read the same things because the wording I used was, quote, out of the budget. So if you're reviewing the budget, you would have seen the money being transferred. You would have seen the jeopardy of the program, and you would have seen that this poor young lady now has to work harder and deal with things that she never coped with on trying to balance a budget, trying to get people to sign a form, and trying to keep all of her hard effort and work intact to make the program continue to be successful. As what was pointed out earlier, and as she's trying to tell you, Mayor, is that $10,000 was set aside. There was never any strings attached. It was never tied on the contingency of block grant. If the city elected to use block grant and they got away with it, and the strings didn't get tighter and tighter, more power, but the strings are getting too tight where this program will fail because she's being told that this is a requirement now. But yet, nowhere from the concept of this program was that a requirement.
And I understand your statement. I appreciate it. The statement really should have been made, the CDBG requirements are making this too onerous. Can you fix it? We didn't need to go through all of this.
I didn't need to appear here either, Mayor.
But you wouldn't have had to had I known in advance. Sorry,
you had all of the warning signs.
Alderman Mayor still has the floor.
Well, I do have one question regarding the switch, the CDBG. Why did all of a sudden the Franklin Travel Program get switched into getting CDBG money? Where was that ever authorized, or I mean, how does that work as far as
through the applications that the Common Council directs us to submit, and through the program contracts that we sign, and through the annual budget process that we approve. What was happening was the natural programs they had were allowing us to qualify, and so the pieces of the puzzle fit.
Right.
And in the last couple of years, it's got tighter. And so I have had conversations with Shirley to say, if you can try and keep it about a 50-50 mix, it's going to be easier so that both programs, the Franklin Senior Citizens Inc. and this program, still have the same amount of money where we're not carrying them back any more than happened in prior years.
So, you're not taking any money away from that group.
Oh, if you look at the historical levels of funding for that group, they've significantly been reduced in funding. So,
historical, like how long? 40 years?
No, I mean since we had the budget pressure of 2009 when we started laying people off. In that budget hearing process, there was a recommendation to actually reduce and eliminate the whole city contribution of $15,000.
Okay, so at the same time, the travel. They've been even, going down evenly.
Let's right. Allow one to speak, one to listen, one to speak, one to listen.
So
makes it easier.
So why is it, I mean, it goes back to my awe when they said that their educational luncheons don't, that the CDBG money wouldn't apply to their educational things, and yet all we're paying for is travel, and yet CDBG money is going to go pay for that? I mean, I guess it doesn't make any sense. I'm trying to figure out, Senior Inc. doesn't get any CDBG money. They just get a straight allowance from the city, and it's
correct.
The travel program that has to rely on the CDBG money.
In part.
Correct. $5,000 and then CDBG money. Okay.
Yeah. And
I guess that just makes no sense to me.
Travel is specifically called out as an eligible expense in the HUD requirements, provided the end purpose is.
But education is too. So why wouldn't the CDBG money be like appropriated evenly between both organizations?
Because the activities of Franklin Senior Inc., for example, supporting the cost of the meal for the luncheon program is not education. If there were a cost to bring in a person to do educational speaking, that could probably apply. But then I would have to have them fill out the same forms as well to prove income eligibility.
All right, thank you.
The issue is not that the money is coming from the community development block grant. The issue is that the requirements being put on us for use of the community development block grants has changed, causing some issues. The whole issue here, folks, Shirley's a wonderful person. Basil's a good guy. Basil did a lot of hard work. Shirley always does a lot of hard work. It's all fine. We just have to find a way so that the CDBG requirements aren't onerous on the program. That's it. End of story. Agreed?
Yeah.
Motion to place on file.
Motion made.
Second.
All those in favor, signify.
Discussion.
Alderman Mayor.
Not to belabor this, but I would like to see some kind of resolution in the future, maybe a committee of the whole, where we get a further report to get some kind of an update on this as to where it's going in the future, rather than just place it on file. And then, because when we're hit with the budget, we're hit with a big budget, to go through that detail by detail and find this in there is a little difficult, possibly. But I'd like to see some kind of report in the future, committee of the whole or something from you, Mark, outlining this.
Okay, the city attorney informs me that it's not appropriate to take that type of, Mr. City Attorney. Tell me what I'm supposed to say. Did you do that well?
No, my thought was, if the subject matter is put over to another meeting for discussion, that would be appropriate.
And that's what I proposed to do. But folks, we need to know what we're talking about and do it right. Okay.
That's why I make the suggestion, so that we put it off to another meeting, so that we do it right and have the discussion when it's appropriate.
Believe me, you guys will keep track of me. Okay. Alderman Schmidt. Yeah, under discussion of the motion to place on file, Alderman Schmidt.
Yes, given the the breadth of the discussions here, I think this would be appropriate for a committee of the whole meeting, since we're not really in a position to be voting on this budget right now. So I support this resolution to bring it back for future discussion.
You have my commitment. All those in favor of the motion to put on file, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you both.
She just wanted to make sure she has the $10,000 for this year.
Use this year what I'm doing.
It's in the budget, yes. Right?
Yes.
Congrats.
Yep.
What she's concerned with, Steve.
No. It's not that hard, basically. She's got the $10,000. We'll try to figure out.
She wants to make sure without, because she had restrictions that she has to use some towards educational and people won't.
Those still apply, and Mark will help her with that.
That's the whole problem.
I understand that. We can't fix that today. You want the $10,000? That's part of the rules. We can't fix it tonight. Surely I'll be in touch.
Mark.
We'll figure it out.
Mark. Good.
Thank you.
But please do, because it's very, very bad. I don't think anyone from up there would put down their salary, not their income, what they make for a year, and sign their name on that form just to go on a bus trip.
We're in violent agreement. We'll figure it out.
That's kind of bad.
Thank you. Is there interest in taking a break?
Yeah.
No, let's move on.
Please.
5 minutes.
Okay, thank you. I got to make a call.
We're back in open session at 8:30. What is it? 7. I'm getting old. I can't read that far.
8:32.
See, I told you I couldn't read that far. 8:32.
Can you come with me?
No.
All right. Consideration of city sponsorship request for authorization for staff to prepare the city planning and zoning related applications necessary for approval in all accessible and all inclusive playground and park nature center.
So moved. I really wish the district alderperson would be here. Could someone get her? Because this
Doug
is her area.
Doug went out in the hall.
I think she'll support it, so I think we can just move on.
Could you withdraw?
Withdraw.
Thank you. Motion by Evans, then withdrawn.
Well, Mayor, I just have a question.
We're already voting on your...
Okay.
Are we going to address the sponsorship? I guess.
That's what this is.
But the motion doesn't.
It's
so, anyway, the alderman district's back. I'll let her have a part.
Is there a motion to direct staff, which accomplishes what we're all looking for, to prepare the city planning and zoning related applications necessary for the approval of an it's going to be all-inclusive and then all-accessible playground and park to be located in the city, frankly.
I would like to make a motion. I'd like the city attorney's opinion on it, considering there's going to be a meeting and everything. I'd like to make a motion to direct staff to prepare a letter of sponsorship for the mayor's signature and for staff to continue the negotiations to propel this development forward.
I'll make a second.
This is Ice Mountain, not Sendix water, so, you know. Okay.
Sandy wouldn't have done that.
Sandy would have told me to deal with it. All right. The purpose of the motion on the council action sheet accomplishes city sponsorship of the project. It also accomplishes fee waivers and the rest. It also provides professional planning staff that essentially will be working for the applicant. So it does what you're saying, but on a more legal, Mr. City Attorney.
I think what the Alderwoman Mayor read into the record is akin to the council motion from last summer, back on, well, in July with regard to the Common Council expressing its full support. And I think when I was asked about this or heard about it last week, I think the city planning manager called, and I said, well, what does sponsorship mean? The concept here is that a substantial portion of this is going to be city project, public project. Why doesn't the staff just work up whatever applications are necessary as soon as that's possible? So that's what Mr. Deal wrote up here.
What would be quicker, you know, negotiating, you know, getting the MOU and that kind of thing, or going through this whole zoning thing and all of that? I mean, we need to have an agreement. We need to have an understanding of what the project even is, because we don't even have that yet.
That's Thursday.
That I understand.
And so why are we trying to do something like this before all of that is just hashed out?
I understand that, too. That was one of my
questions. That's the point of my motion, is to realize that we're moving forward. Let's figure out what we're doing first. We could table this. Come back to what, you know, when we know what we're actually doing.
Oh, I see. Okay, this is on the agenda because I have a strong interest in keeping this moving forward.
I have a stronger interest in...
No, mine's strong. I don't care who's the stronger. I have an interest in moving this forward, and part of it relates to costs being borne by Kayla's crew. Our discussion Thursday. This makes those big goose eggs. So that's why I'd like to move this along. Likewise, it's another thing crossed off the list. We can do it now. Why not do it now? Similarly, item 7, same thing. It's on the list. We can do it now. Let's do it now and move on. It's the whole purpose of all of this. We can table it, but then I don't want to have the phone calls of, why didn't this get done?
I don't think it's not getting done. I just think it's getting done differently than what you said. And I guess I just want to know what we're actually doing. I think Thursday's meeting is going to be very informative, and it's going to hash out everything. And if we table it until the next Common Council meeting, then I don't see what the hurt is in that. If we then are voting on something that we know what the project is.
Okay. Whatever.
I mean, I'll take the city attorney's opinion on it.
Mr. City Attorney?
Well, frankly, when I heard about the potential topic, my question was, isn't it a little premature?
Thank you. Okay.
And I understood it was at a request for overall project forwarding on the private sector end with the not-for-profit entities and fundraising and the like. And that timing was of the essence for that reason.
I guess I don't understand what the difference is between what this actually is or in the writing of what the staff wrote down here and what we've all agreed on for the past, you know, 8 months, that we are supporting this, we are, you know, behind this 100%, we are moving forward. I don't know what their write-up accomplishes, so maybe that I need that, and of course I missed it because I was out of the room, so I'm sorry that I didn't.
You didn't miss anything.
Okay, so maybe I just don't understand.
Mr. City Attorney.
The other part was, I understand the Department of City Development was receiving questions with regard to permit fees and the like over the past 3 weeks, and that this would answer that question.
I guess I just have to say this. Never in my wildest dreams on last Wednesday, when I asked for this to be drafted, did I ever consider that someone would have an objection to it. Never in my wildest
dreams. And I don't have an objection to it. I don't know if I understand it.
Well, that's a different issue. Mr. LeBert, I see you there. And then Alderman Wilhelm.
Because the Common Council sets policy, and it's our job to implement it. So we read what you say and then interpret it. It's very common for when someone comes through with like a concept plan. It's not uncommon anyway for the Common Council to say, "Wow, we support this. Staff work with these people to make it happen." A good example with that is the meandering path that you got an update on just the other week. A couple years ago, we were told help make that happen, and staff works with them. Part of that is sometimes to turn to them and say, "Okay, now you have to fill this out and fill this out. You'll need a check for this." If what's in your title, city sponsorship, is added to the end of this motion, it's fairly open-ended. But it would let us be able to hit the ground running and know that the project is, because of the city's involvement in part of the land and effectively a city project, which means staff can work on it without us donating time to private resources. If we have our own projects, we don't charge ourselves fees because we're part of the project. So this would mean that step is out of the way because it's broad enough because you said as necessary. So then when you get to whatever meeting is for Thursday where you start to pin things down, that's where staff will be able to say, these are the steps that are necessary, and we're ready to go. We're ready to help. There aren't fees applied because if you add to the end, and further for the city to sponsor such applications, that would be consistent with, since I've been here a couple times, where the city has done that, and then no fees have applied because it's been our application. So if you add that to the end of the motion, I do think you have the potential to save yourself a meeting where you later have to do that, because the motion from last summer that just says support it, staff would not typically read that as meaning that we're the city taking over the application and therefore fees not applying. So that's how, from an administrative standpoint, I see this as being different. If you add what is in your title to the end of the motion, and further the city to sponsor such applications as necessary.
Okay, so Mr. City Attorney, why was your first thought that it was premature?
Mr. City Attorney.
Because there are a number of questions answered right down to what area of the property.
Which is why I wouldn't put the address. Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, the motion that stands says for the staff to prepare zoning-related applications. It's my understanding this is zoned institutional. This is a park. Parks are always allowed in institutional areas. We don't need to zone this right now. So that, to me, is a waste of time because rezoning requires a notice in the paper, a public hearing, anytime you rezone. So why are we doing that? This can all be covered with an MOU. The city attorney is going to have a meeting coming up. You got a lot of questions to get down. You're putting something in place for staff to cause work that maybe it's not even necessary at this point.
Is there a motion on the table?
I actually thought her motion was perfect because it gave them the letter of support. I'd actually like to hear it back again, but it would provide them a letter from you saying the city is on board with this project so they can continue to fundraise. It would allow direction from the council and reinstate that the city attorney is to work with them, which they are going to do, and I fully support that motion if someone could read it back so I didn't miss anything. And just move forward with that. And then if there's something, you get all the other details, just bring back an MOU and we'll be done with it. So could I have the motion read back, please?
Motion to direct staff to prepare a letter of sponsorship for mayor's signature and for staff to continue negotiations to propel the development of the project.
I'll second that.
Discussion. I would have signed the letter anyway. So, okay. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? You're still paying fees. This didn't fix that problem.
What? Excuse me?
No. Madam Alderwoman, the intention of this was to fix the fee problem. What you just did is put it off. So that's fine. That's okay. It's
Mayor,
okay. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
You make a comment direct to the people sitting in the audience. Then you should allow the alder people
I
to...
I recognize you.
I know, but you... What do you mean? What fees are there? If they sit down and this becomes a city project, there will be no fees. So let the city attorney do his job with the negotiations and handle that. Don't sit there and tell the applicant you're stuck with fees, because we don't know that until after this meeting is done, and that is really unfair to them.
It's true.
Okay.
Item
G7. We can move on.
Item G7, request from the Common Council to initiate the review and recommendation process for the official naming of an all accessible, we're going to change that around, is that okay, Shelley? And all-inclusive playground and park nature center proposed to be on Loomis Road. Is there a motion to request review and recommendation of the Parks Commission of the suggested official name for the proposed all-accessible, all-inclusive playground and park nature center in accordance with the Resolution 2010-6634, Resolution Establishing City Building, Parks, and Facilities Naming Policy, and further, request a designation as Kayla's Playground with the note to the Parks Commission that Kayla's impact began at the day she was born. Is there such a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Discussion of the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. G8, resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a light commercial construction contractor business use upon a property located at 11113 West Forest Home, Ogden Construction Group, LLC. Alderman Mayer.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Mayor. Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Is there a resolution to vacate approximately 1.8290 acres of right-of-way, which extends approximately 60 feet along Whittle Edge Road between South 108th Street and West Forest Home Avenue, adjacent to a property located at 6421, 6431, 6435, and 6455 South 108th Street. That would be Alderman Mayer.
Yeah, could I have a little bit of background?
Certainly. Mr. Deagle. And applicant's representative is here.
Hiller Ford is requesting city approval. We've just started our staff review of it for an expansion of their showroom and building of a new building for used cars, some changes to their parking lot. As part of that project, they would also like the city to vacate that right away, that road right away, so that they can use that property for their parking without having to worry about setback issues. If this road vacation was not approved, they would have setback issues for their parking spaces. They would probably have to apply for a variance. The reason it's mostly existing parking, it's sort of been treated as grandfather lots. They're requesting something now. We're trying to clean this up. So the applicant is asking the city to vacate that right away. Engineering department and the fire department both have been involved in these discussions and have met with the applicant, and they both are comfortable with this change as well.
Okay, so moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Alderman Mayer.
I just wanted to add that the road was initially put in for the fire department to get quicker access to the west side of the city. It's no longer really necessary since Speedway Drive now takes its place.
Alderman Willem.
I'm looking, I tried to look at and make sense of this on the property viewer. Which one is the applicant? Are they the ones with all the parking now?
Yeah, yes.
To the south of this easement?
They own property to the north. They own all the parcels except for one, which is sort of on the northwest.
Okay, and for sound planning, you don't feel it's important to have that go out to Forest Home on the other side?
We brought that up, but it's more like a suggestion, like our typical suggestions. But engineering and the fire department felt even more strongly that it wasn't necessary.
If that other area gets developed, it would only in would be from that, from Forest Home, right?
Well, the applicant is now considering the possibility of granting that property owner access. So they would swap some land or give some land to this property owner so they would have access to Highway 100.
Okay. I did notice there's also some kind of railroad easement that runs through the property as well.
Okay.
A railroad easement or something? It shows up on the property here where it's...
Just utility easements that we're aware of.
It's a utility easement.
It's kind of hard to get a train engine through there.
I thought that the property viewer said something was an old right-of-way.
If it's ROW, then just generic right-of-way.
Yeah, I know that ROW is generic right-of-way. Something stood out to me. I don't know. Okay, I'm fine.
Any other discussion on the motion? Mr. City Attorney.
Just for clarification there are two motions on the Common Council action sheet, and preceding those two recommended motions is the fact of the Common Council entertaining the introduction of this resolution. The resolution per se for final adoption is not before the Common Council this evening. It's simply being introduced. That's because of the statutory requirement and time limits to precede a public hearing. So I understand the resolution to be introduced, and that Alderwoman Mayor, correct me if I'm wrong, but I understand her motion to be to refer the street vacation to the March 19th, 2015 Plan Commission meeting, which is the second listed motion on the action sheet.
Correct.
So you're making both motions at once, and the second was Alderman Mayor.
Seconded as the alderman of the district made it.
So just so we're clear, it's both motions. All those in... Yes, it's
it's the March 19th.
And this set the public hearing date.
And the public hearing.
Correct. Okay.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G10, similarly, a resolution to vacate approximately 0.467 acres or roughly 20,000 square feet of right-of-way West Allwood Drive through properties located similarly at West Allwood Drive 10819 through 10836.
Move to approve.
This is a motion to approve to refer the street vacation at 10819, 10835, 10847, and 10836 West Allwood Drive to the March 5th Plan Commission meeting for recommendation. And your motion is as well to set the public hearing date on the proposed vacation, right-of-way vacation, as described above, for not less than 40 days from February 17th or April 7th. Is that your motion?
Yes, it is.
Is there a second for that?
Yes.
Alderman Mayor.
I just have a question. Through this particular property, there was some talk about a trail, and I'm just wondering how that would, how does that get kind of worked in there, that that's a possibility, or?
Mr. Deal.
Again, this project is in the early stages. They're talking to staff, and they have mentioned that they would be open to the idea of a trail in this location in their property. The street vacation wouldn't. It's one of those things, it's too early to know how that trail would be accomplished, whether it's going to be an easement or a right-of-way or it's going to remain on their private property and they would just allow public access. We don't know those answers yet. All we know for sure is that the church is open to the idea of some kind of trail on there. So Again, because of the state statute timeframes for doing the street vacation, again, the applicant in both instances, the previous project and this project, they agree they want to bring all these applications to the Common Council at the same time. So we need to do this street right away vacation, start that process now, so we can get all the applications together to the council at the same time. And so that leads to the situation where we don't have a final answer on the trail yet. It is possible that we won't have a final answer even by the time it all gets to the council, because one option would be that they would just acknowledge that they are willing to reserve a future trail, and it wouldn't be built until someday in the future.
Right.
Okay. So that's a possibility.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring it up that was, make everybody aware.
Yes. Okay. That's good.
Thanks.
For the record, we have entertained the introduction of the resolution, and we are acting.
I just want the applicant to know that I would also be looking for a future trail and wouldn't want to be giving this up if that won't be a consideration in the future, because this could be, right now, there's enough area there for a parking lot, a bike access area, and I think that's important for that community. That will be in my mind when it comes for another vote, so just so it's not a surprise.
Any further discussion on both, on the single motion handling two items? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G11, Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation Certified Sites Program. Who's doing this, Mark or Joel?
Me.
Joel.
It's my understanding that this was a recommendation from the EDC to be able to provide this information to the council for their review and consideration. So I don't think the EDC was asking for any action at this time. They wanted to make sure the council had this information. I believe they thought it was very important and could be pertinent to some future project in the city. And just as a background, I did go to a workshop on this very topic a year or two ago, so I have a little bit of knowledge. If there are questions, I might be able to answer some of them. But essentially, it's primarily, the program is aimed for industrial projects. Identifying ahead of time all the issues that might be attendant on a piece of land, and then trying to resolve all those issues, making that piece of land clean and clear so somebody could build something on it. So it could be everything from rezoning it to the proper use, providing utilities to that property, even getting all the applications done ahead of time for public road right away, easements and utilities and those things. And the state program then, if you meet those qualifications, you do those things, you become eligible, you have to pay. They double check all this stuff. If you meet their qualifications, then they list you on their state website. They have promotional materials that they'll give when they go on trade missions to China and places like that. When they talk to people looking for an industrial site in the state, they will give. And it's a relatively short list of communities that have done this. So it's not like we'd be on a list of thousands. It's probably a list of dozens. And I think the closest one is West Bend. So it is sort of expensive. I can't remember the money, $6,000, something like that, to pay. But the premise, I believe, is valid. And we've even talked as staff about doing this on our own without the state program. So bottom line, I think it's a very interesting subject, and I don't think the EDC was looking for any action tonight.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, when I saw this, I thought it would be a perfect program for a site like where Meyer tried to go, and we keep running into problems with that site. Joel made a comment that it has to be for industrial. I don't know if that's 100% correct or not, but I notice it does say no part may be located on or directly adjacent to a floodplain. So, I mean, that pretty much makes most of Franklin pretty tough fit for the program. I mean, we have so many streams.
But
I thought it would be worth just trying to go through the process a little bit, because even if we don't qualify, we'll get an understanding of how the process works, and maybe when something comes up, that way we could be ready to go and apply for something. So I didn't talk to Alderman Dandry about seeing if the crossroads, if we could use that as kind of a pilot project or not. It just kind of came up right now, but why not? Why not just try to work through it a little bit, and maybe the EDC would be interested in kind of following it through and seeing where the glitches are and learning the process along the way. Just a thought. Might be worthwhile.
I looked at this program last April 16th, the day after I got, well, I got sworn in. It has some intrigue to me. It's darn expensive. But most of this work is being done as part of our due diligence on the business park, so it may not be as difficult as we think, and hope that it's not as difficult. I think we ought to take a look at it. I think we ought to take a look at it in the context of the business parks that we're talking about. I do have a concern, if you look down a list of what all they've funded, probably not what we're looking for in the city. So, but I would, as we work through this, the CDA and the EDC with our various parcels, we'll keep this front and center. Mr. Liberta.
In addressing the question on industrial, if you look at page 177, what does certification look like? They have 18 points that they look for. The first one is general surroundings fit for industrial activity, and the last one is that it has industrial zoning. So it is targeted, focusing on industrial activity.
Okay, well, let's just say that we'll all keep this front of mind. Is that all right?
Sounds good.
Okay, item G12, resolution of acceptance of the dedication of right-of-way for, geez, we are just right-of-waying our death itself to death tonight. Right-of-way of southeasterly corner of outlot of the recorded subdivision in Avian Estate. Alderman Dandry.
I'll make the motion to adopt resolution 2015, resolution of accepting and dedication of right-of-way at the southeasterly corner of Outlot 1 of the recorded subdivision Avian Estate.
Second.
Okay.
All right.
She was just louder, that's all. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G13. Is there a motion to adopt resolution 2015, a resolution to sign a local county agreement for highway improvement of Milwaukee County for South 68th Street from Ryan Road to 1280 feet south of Putes, and authorized payment of $18,573 and 50 cents.
I'll make that motion to adopt resolution 2015, resolution to sign local/county agreement for a highway improvement with Milwaukee County for South 68th Street, County A. Are you sure that's my area?
Yeah.
I think that's mine.
Nope.
From
side, right?
Okay, from, well, oh, don't put side. Don't oh. put that in there. That are you sure it's my area? But from
it's the house of
from
West Mark. It's
right.
Your area.
That's right. Yeah, it's on my side. You can have it.
Yeah.
No, from West Ryan Road, south 100th to 1285 feet south of West Putes Road to authorize payment of $18,572.50.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Doug. Mr. Liberta.
One clarification for the fiscal note. Although you're authorizing payment, it's important to note that we'd be charging it to the sewer rehab account as far as appropriations go, which has $170,000. And at the same time, staff will work to further evaluate the long-term strategies for this kind of activity for budgeting. And then if finance director, engineer, and I determine that a future budget modification becomes necessary, we'd bring it to you at the time. But in the meantime, it'll be charged in the sewer rehab account.
I just direct you all to page 192. Nothing from Milwaukee County comes free. They add 15% just because they want to on everything they do on our behalf, whether we ask for it or not.
Better be nice to them.
Better be nice to them. When are they going to be nice to us? Resolution awarding the contract to... I'm sorry, excuse me. I apologize to the council. Who was first here?
Oh, I don't know. I can go to
Alderwoman Evans.
Thank you. I just have a question. Why didn't this come to the council sooner? Because of the increase?
Let's blame it on a new guy, Mr. City Engineer.
What had happened was the county was doing their road project. Our water line there's a conflict with the storm sewer. And they when they increased the size of the storm sewer, instead of making us go back and relay our water line, which would have cost us about $30,000, they actually lowered the storm sewer that they were putting in. And they wanted to charge us for a couple sections of the storm sewer. So by doing so, they had to add a couple sections of the storm sewer on. So that's why they charged it to our water account. Now that we just now find out, because actually in there is actually the email from the county. We just found out like 2 weeks ago they finally finalized the project and they were able to tell us what our bill was for doing that. The Water Commission actually approved we talked about it last October, the fact that we would have to do it, and we again talked about it this afternoon, and they agreed that that's something we should do. So,
Ms. Cooper.
I apologize. The water utility does have the bulk of that. My prior statement was referring to the $2,185 that's being charged to the sanitary sewer fund.
Yeah, they're split up between the sewer and the water. So.
Alderwoman Mayor.
No, my question was answered.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Is there a motion? Item G14, is there a motion to adopt the resolution of awarding contract to low bidder MJ Construction, the amount of $235,911
so moved.
For a relay of...
Oh, I thought you were done.
...of Alderman Mayor Sewer?
Second.
So moved.
Second. Discussion? Alderwoman Mayor.
I'm noticing that there's such a huge discrepancy between the low bid and the high bid, like almost half. I'm just wondering, what's the change order process if these guys come in and say, oh, well, we made a mistake? And
well,
go ahead.
It's because they made a mistake and they'll have to eat it. These are unit price quantities, so the final project will be based on what they install. So, if they said 50 foot per foot of pipe, that's what they'll get paid per foot of pipe. So they made a mistake in their bid. We don't think they did. They were pretty widespread. Our estimate was right in the middle. Actually, the engineer's estimate was right in the middle. And it was a gradual spread. I mean, there wasn't any big gaps when you look at the numbers. 235, 265, 291, 296, 312, 364, 376, 483. So the 483 is kind of out of line, but he was way high. So I think we probably got a good bid.
The 483 was probably, geez, we're really busy. I don't really want this project, but if I get it, I'll sub it. So shoot it up. And if the mailman stumbles, you might trip yourself into a contract. Anybody, that's happened before to me. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Is there a motion, item G15, a motion to adopt the annual budget preparation timetable?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 That was exciting. Any opposed? Motion carries. Licenses. Item H1, Alderman Danbury.
Licensing committee would like to make the following recommendations. Operator new, Kayla Fleury, hold for appearance. Operator new, Daniel Currents, approved. Operator new, Billy Russ, approved. Operator new, Tracy Steger, approved. Operator new, Erica Thompson-Wilson, approved. Extraordinary Entertainment and Amusement, the Ragnar Relay Chicago 2015 race, approved. Class B Combination, reserve license application for grant 2014-15 for the Hudson Burger LLC. Approval of the grant to Hudson Burger LLC in the amount of $9,000. based on the criteria submitted in their application.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. John Camliga.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
This is where we have
fun. Where I have fun?
Yeah. Item I-1, vouchers and payroll approval. Is there a motion approving the net general checking account city vouchers in the range of 155369 through 155555? I think I got it right. In the amount of $2,041,416.12, dated February 3, 2015, through February 12.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Deputy Clerk, please call the roll.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
The motion carries, vote 6-0. Is there a motion to approving the net payroll dated February 6th, the amount of $344,554.41, and payment of the various payroll deductions in the amount of $193,529.57 plus any matching payments?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Deputy Clerk.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Sorry. Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Motion carries 6-0. Is there a motion approving the net payroll dated February 20th, estimated at $370,000 in payments of the various payroll deductions, estimated at $380,000 plus any city matching payments?
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Motion is approved. Vote was 6-0. Is there a motion approving property tax refunds and settlements in the ranges of 14792 through 14844 in the total amount of $33,197.38 dated January 30th through February 12th?
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Vote is 6-0. Motion carries. A motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Let's go.
That's right. Okay.